Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, your daily dose of what's been happening news-wise on the island in under half an hour. So coming up before 5.30, the Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper says government has lost the plot, a claim the Chief Minister has dismissed as ridiculous. We'll bring you the latest on this escalating political row. Also tonight, the Chief Constable's annual report reveals encouraging crime statistics. We'll break down some of the key findings. If you're heading to Spain this summer, we've got some essential travel insurance advice that you won't want to miss. And once again, we'll have the very latest live from Orkney and the Island Games. All that, the traffic and the travel, the weather as well. It's getting a little bit blurry out there. And if you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai. An MHK has labelled Alfred Cannon's administration dishonest and incompetent as a row emerges following the approval of £15.3 million of additional funding for health. Ramsay MHK and former Health Minister Laurie Hooper told Manx Radio government has lost the plot.
We are trying to pretend that we can carry on the way we are, that their decisions that they're making are not going to have real consequences for real people, and they're trying to plug the gap with these end-of-the-year supplementary votes.
Well, in response, here's Alfred Cannon.
I think it's very rich coming from Laurie Hooper, who seems to think everybody is imperfect and everybody is wrong except himself. Frankly, I think Laurie Hooper's being ridiculous.
And as Beth said, there'll be more on this in the upcoming programme. The mother of Daniel Boyd says she's immensely proud following the approval of legislation to create an opt-out organ donation system on the island. The Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act passed its final hurdle in Tynwald this week, with the change due to come into force from the 1st of January 2026. And creative projects that celebrate the Manx language could be eligible for a grant from Culture Vannin. It's offering 30 grants of up to £500 as part of its Traitsch initiative. Further afield, the UK-wide voting age has been lowered to 16, which the Lib Dems and SNP like, but the Tories and Reform don't. It's also gone down differently too amongst teens at a London skate park.
The people that I'm friends with definitely care about politics and about who's in government.
You kind of have to like actually listen, like watch the news. Kids our age like don't really want to do that.
I don't know if we're like developed enough to really know what we're talking about. I'm just skating right now. I don't even have a job.
It's reported three people have now died when Gaza's only Catholic church was hit by an Israeli airstrike, and the UK Prime Minister has remarked on the closeness of the UK and Germany as the two countries sign a new treaty. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And honestly, just looking out the window here, it's so misty over Douglas Bay. This evening, essentially, it's going to be dry, but some northern and western parts are going to see some further sunny intervals. Elsewhere, low cloud and mist is likely. There will be a few outbreaks of rain developing for a time tonight. Lowest temperatures will be around 14. Tomorrow it will start cloudy and again quite misty, but it will be dry, sunny intervals gradually developing, light or moderate south or southwest winds, and maximum temperatures will be 20 or 21. Looking ahead to the weekend, mostly dry with sunny intervals on Saturday, just the slight risk of a few outbreaks of rain later on, but the rain is more probable at times on Sunday. Sunset this evening, 9:41. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:08.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rice recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. Tim Wald finished about an hour and a half and so ago. We will bring you the very latest on what's been happening in that in our Tim Wald in Brief podcast. If you missed any of this week's sitting, even if you were sat in the court, then you'll be able to listen back and find out what the main talking points were. Now, we're going to stay with a political theme because I cannot believe anything this government tells us anymore. This administration has just lost the plot. Those are the sentiments of the Ramsay MHK and former Health Minister Laurie Hooper, who's been critical of a number of decisions made in Tim Wald this week, as well as criticising the Health Department's approach to a motion seeking an additional £15.3 million. The Liberal Vanon leaders hit out at the 18 MHKs and 6 MLCs who voted against an amendment that would have recognised the cost of living when setting a minimum wage. He's been talking to our political correspondent Phil Gorn.
They are just being dishonest with people about what they're doing. They are trying to pretend that we can carry on the way we are, that their decisions that they're making are not going to have real consequences for real people, and they're trying to plug the gap with these end-of-the-year supplementary votes. I mean, I just cannot believe anything they tell us anymore. I have zero confidence in her ability, not just to turn this around, but just generally. I think we have an incompetent administration that was being proven time and time again. We've just had a massive debate on the living wage, where the government's own report contradicted some of the things the minister was telling Tim Wald. This administration has just lost the plot completely.
You're talking there about slashing services, reducing, lengthening waiting lists. Is that just wishful thinking on your part, or is that really happening?
That's what they explicitly said they were doing in their mandate and operating plan. Manxcare's response to that was, do you not realise this will push up A&E wait times as well? Now, the minister may not be aware of what's in her own documents, but that is exactly what they've proposed to Tim Wald. That is exactly what they've instructed Manxcare to do. And in terms of building bridges, trust me, I have been trying to do that for my entire time in Tim Wald Court, but we've reached the stage where, like I said, because I can't trust what I'm being told by ministers, it is very hard to engage in any sort of constructive dialogue when you know full well the rug is going to be pulled out from under you.
That is the Laurie Hooper, the Ramsay MHK, former health minister, the head of the Liberal Vanon Party as well. He makes several references there to the health minister, and we have invited Claire Christian to speak to us and to react to some of those comments. And she did say she would. I'm just waiting to hear whether that interview has been done yet. So I guess the question now then is this government fundamentally dishonest? Well, that is something Phil put to Chief Minister Alf Cannon.
I think it's very rich coming from Laurie Hooper, who seems to think everybody is imperfect and everybody is wrong except himself, and unless he's been specifically involved in that particular piece of legislation or the particular piece of policy. Frankly, I think Laurie Hooper's being ridiculous in his statements and you know, his allegations, you know, that people are being dishonest. It's just frankly not the case.
We're not even into election year yet. Are you expecting that more members will start making more outspoken and saying more outlandish things?
There are those of us that want to work and want to carry on working, and we'll continue to work and give absolutely every ounce of energy and commitment that we have and continuing to deliver. And if Laurie Hooper and others want to sit on the outside and throw rocks for the next 12 months on the basis that that's the foundation of their election campaign, they're absolutely welcome to it.
Well, that is the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, talking to Phil there. You can find out much more about this story and hear the interviews in full at manxradio.com. And as you would imagine, on our social media pages, there's been a lot of comment from you about it as well. So we're just really wondering what you think, whether you are Team Laurie or Team Chief Minister, as Ben put it on Breakfast this morning. 166177 studio at manxradio.com if you'd like to get involved in the discussion. Coming up to 5 past 9. Now, are you planning a trip to Spain this summer? Because if so, you need to be aware of some new regulations that were introduced by the Spanish government in relation to insurance cover. And essentially, you could face a hefty fine if you arrive in the country without proof of adequate cover for your visit. Natasha Beaumont is from Kestrel Insurance, and she's been talking to Simon Richardson about these changes.
So the UK Government, Foreign and Commonwealth Office have their own website, which actually provides travel guidance for most countries around the world for UK residents. And obviously on the Isle of Man, we can use this as well. This website's been updated this week to say say that upon entry to Spain, you may be asked to show proof of your travel insurance at Spanish border control. Most travel insurance policies actually stipulate that travellers must adhere to the FCO guidance in order to maintain their cover at all times.
Many people, of course, don't carry paper documents but have their policies on their phones. So would you advise they take printed copies also?
Electronic travel documents are widely accepted now by authorities. Our solution actually provides the policyholder with a link so that their documents can be accessed simply at the touch of a button. However, I would always advise that the policyholder does print out their certificate of insurance prior to travelling. You may find in some countries that websites could be blocked. There may also be limited internet access, but it might also be advantageous to have a paper copy in the event of a natural disaster or an unforeseen conflict, because these documents have key contact details on them, which you may actually require in a time of need and not have internet access to be able to gain these contact details.
Now, an important element is repatriation. Many people don't realise that the repatriation to the Isle of Man isn't part of the reciprocal agreement with the UK, is it?
No, that's correct. The reciprocal healthcare agreement provides medically necessary healthcare within the UK for a period not exceeding and not expected to exceed 6 months. However, it does not include repatriation. Repatriation is a very important part of any travel insurance policy. It covers the cost of getting you back home if you're seriously ill or injured abroad. It also covers repatriating your body in the event you actually pass away in a different country when travelling. So if you're stuck overseas and need medical transport back to the island, that cost won't be covered unless you've got the right insurance cover in place, and without that protection the cost could actually run into tens of thousands of pounds.
That's Natasha Beaumont from Kestrel Insurance talking to Simon there. Again, find out more about this and that general advice on the Manx Radio website. 11 minutes past five, Tynwald today approved an amended motion affirming its full support for all international obligations relating to war crimes. Now, this is in relation to the ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine, as Amy Griffiths reports.
It follows a motion initially brought forward by Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher, calling on the Chief Minister to write to the UK government conveying Tynwald's position. It originally specified that support should not be given to any state currently engaging in or under formal international investigation for violations such as war crimes or crimes against humanity. The motion would have been entirely symbolic and would not have held any legal bearing, but Ms. Farragher argued it would have represented a formal expression of Tynwald's stance on upholding international legal norms and human rights. However, Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford put forward an amendment. It featured the following points: affirming Tynwald's full support for all obligations under the various treaties and conventions relating to war crimes, condemning restrictions on the humanitarian delivery of food, water and medicines to civilians during conflict, endorsing the UN's resolution on the Israel-Palestine conflict, and supporting the joint statement from the UK, France and Canada opposing any attempt to expand settlements and calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Mr. Ashford's amendment was subsequently carried.
Amy Griffiths reporting. Coming up to 30 minutes past five, and Arbury and Russian commissioners are looking for residents' opinions on the 20-mile-an-hour scheme which is being proposed by the Department of Infrastructure. Chair Kiri Jenkins says the board would especially like to hear from those living on the main road in Arbury because there are planned changes there. The local authority is scheduled to meet the Infrastructure Minister in December and is encouraging residents to send their views in by October.
On the plans, there is a suggestion that the arterial route through Colby and Ballabeg will go down to a 20 mile an hour. So we are looking for as much input as possible. So we have some roads that are de-restricted and come into a 30 mile an hour zone so that they don't step from one to the other. We already have a 20 mile an hour zone in the lower part of the Colby Glen, and we already have 20 mile an hour in some of the estates. So by broadening this out, we want the views really of the people that are living along the main road. I know people have mentioned to me that it seems strange to go to a 20 when there's only houses and a footpath on one side throughout Colby, for example. And there's other people that have mentioned that there's areas that maybe should have a speed limit on it that haven't. So I think we want as many people as possible to look at it holistically and let us know. It's a bit like a citizen science project, isn't it? To try and identify all the roads around where they live and let us know what their views are. So if they could please contact our clerk, which is clerk@arbrus.gov.im. and as many people as possible to give us feedback would be brilliant.
That is Chair of Arbury and Rushing Commissioners Kiri Jenkins there. More details as ever on our website if you'd like to submit your thoughts.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
As I look out of the window now, it's all cleared a little bit over Douglas Bay, but it is looking quite misty over the top. So if you're driving over there, then do take care. There was an RTC on the Mountain Road earlier, but that has all now reopened. Nothing else to report on the police pages, so it's just the usual things that we know about at the moment on the roads with regards to roadworks. Down at the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas at around about 6:15. It'll be heading out for Heysham again at 7:45. The Manannan on its way to Liverpool, getting there at 6:15. Down at the airport, there are a couple of delays. The Aer Lingus Dublin flight and also the EasyJet Manchester flight. So if you are expecting anybody on those, then do take a look at the latest information before you head out there.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15 and the Home Affairs Minister says she takes her hat off to the island's constabulary after the Chief Constable's annual report was carried through Tynwald this week. Now, it shows that overall there was a 10% reduction in recorded crime on the island over the past financial year, while it also did highlight some of the challenges facing police here. They include an increase in demand on the force as well as notable increases in some of the most complex and serious crime. Jane Paul Wilson acknowledged those challenges and praised the force for a very positive report.
I think it's a very positive report, actually. I think in terms of the detail, the reporting increase in crime detection rate, and I think the reduction in overall crime, I think is a really good news story. And when you start to dig in behind the various policing priorities set by the department and how the police have performed against them, you know, you do see high productivity and effectiveness. I take my hat off to our constabulary as a relatively small force. The way in which they multi-hat and the variety of work that they manage to cover is really quite impressive, particularly when you compare ourselves with neighbouring jurisdictions.
On the whole, most people living in the Isle of Man think that it's a safe place to live. There is, though, the concern that perhaps organised crime may be seeing the Isle of Man as an opportunity.
So I think we've seen over the last few years the evolving nature of threat and risk to the island. I think you're absolutely right that the activity of serious and organised criminals has been recognised. And I would say that's exactly why we've worked so hard with the Securing Our Island strategy to be able to respond to that. And it's multi-layered. I think it's absolutely the right thing. And in fact, you will see from the annual report that the number of disruptions have gone up significantly in the reporting year. But also, we want to provide a deterrent to those who would seek to try and exploit the island. And as part of our ongoing work, we have got the rollout now of automatic number plate recognition at the ports, which again is an important way of using intelligence to yield meaningful impact.
That's Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson talking to Phil Vare. 5:17, and it's hoped a new charity on the island will help support people with mental health issues before they reach crisis point. Preferred Futures Isle of Man has been set up by qualified mental health nurses and professionals, and it really focuses on early intervention and non-judgmental support and is working to create a recovery cafe for people needing help. Mel Beattie is chair of the trustees and Mark Haith is one of the mental health nurses who helped set up the charity, and they've been talking to Amy.
I think we need to look slightly out of the box and do things differently, in that we probably need different services in conjunction with standard statutory services. So it's not a case of doing more, it's doing something different. And that would be working around one of our key aims, which is to create what's called a recovery cafe. And that means normalising, allowing people to come to a space up to 7 days a week so they can support each other through peer-to-peer support and also for some professional engagement as well, rather than ending up in mental health services because they're so isolated.
Because how important is that to mental health recovery and resilience?
Entirely so, I think. If you think about an effective service, a person might get to see a worker one day a week for an hour, which is really important to discuss difficult things. But what do we do with the rest of the week? And these services that differ, that change in mindset around services, being seen to be much more effective for treatment, but also much more cost effective, because we could be working with, say, 50, 60 people a day or more.
We identify quite early on that some people end up needing mental health care due to physical conditions and maybe diagnoses, you know, things that are going on for them. And actually, if there was a forum or somewhere they could go to discuss openly how they feel, you know, away from family members, in a more private setting, and also with people who are experiencing similar or the same, there's nothing more valuable in that. And we talked about that sense of community and feeling like you're not alone. That was kind of a key way that we thought we could do that, through opening up support groups. We would have mental health professionals there to help coordinate that and guide those conversations. But essentially, the care comes from within.
That's Mel Beattie and also Mark Haith, both talking to Amy. And you can find out more about the charity on their Facebook page. It is Preferred Futures Isle of Man. And as ever, you can find out more about it on our website as well. OK, so coming up to 20 past five, time to head to Orkney now and join our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, to find out how things are going for the Manx athletes in the Island Games. You're at the golf ground, I understand, Rob.
I am indeed. You join us at the serene surroundings of Orkney Golf Club for very good reason, because in the last 10 minutes, the Isle of Man men's golf team have won not one, not two, but three medals here this afternoon. It is individual gold for Daryl Collister, who's been right at the sharp end of this tournament throughout the week. And in second place in getting silver, his teammate Rob Noone in the individual. Also finishing inside the top 10 in the men's individual standings, where their other teammates Liam Cowan and Chris Neen. And all their good performances mean that they have also been awarded the team gold medal as well here. So hopefully I'm going to be hearing from the quartet of Collister, Noone, Cowan and Neen in the next few minutes. And we will have that for you on my Radio Sport Facebook page shortly. In total, there have been seven medals for Team Isle of Man this afternoon. The medals elsewhere, we've had bronze in the archery once again, the mixed compound team event, the Isle of Man archery team. In the cycling, it was team silver for the men's mountain bike team in the mountain bike cross country. In gymnastics, we had two Isle of Man women's athletes involved in the women's all-around medals. Amara Brogan won joint gold, whilst Anya Matthews won bronze. Tonight, there's going to be even more chances for medals across the board tonight. We've got plenty of athletes competing in the swimming and athletics as well, so still plenty more to come and plenty of good medals on the board already.
Oh, Rob, it just sounds absolutely fantastic. I know you've been so busy moving around everywhere, but you're getting a sense from the athletes of how they're feeling about each other's success.
Yes, to a certain extent. For some of them, they're focusing on their own game as well, and some of the sports are by their nature individual, but there really seems to be a collective atmosphere. And just looking in front of me now here at the golf club, we've seen the players themselves who've won the medals just milling around at the moment, but there's still other members of Team Isle of Man around here as well that are here to support them, and we're here to congratulate them as soon as Daryl Collister was the last man off the 18th hole as well to secure his gold medal. And we've seen that across the events, that the athletes from the other sports are coming down where possible to support their fellow Manx competitors wherever they can.
Do you know, and it's been brilliant seeing all the coverage that you've done. We've got, as you mentioned, the live blog and all the things on the Facebook page as well. And I think people here really enjoying seeing that success and getting behind the Manx athletes. But you must be pretty exhausted by now.
Do you know what? With how busy the days are, it all just seems to roll into one. It hasn't affected me, I would say. But it really has just been a whirlwind of a week in terms of times. It only feels like 2 hours ago that we were at the opening ceremony last Saturday. But we're on the penultimate day, coming close to the end of the penultimate day, if you like, before the final events tomorrow. And then, of course, the closing ceremony in just over 24 hours' time. It has been a whirlwind, but all round a very successful whirlwind so far for Team Isle of Man. And with their current medal total, they've actually now passed the half century, because that is now 52 medals in total, and hopefully still more to come this evening.
Wonderful. Sports editor Rob Pritchard, thank you very much. Very quickly, is it okay again weather-wise there at the moment?
It's been absolutely gorgeous. The temperature's just dropped a little bit. There's a little bit of a breeze around Orkney Golf Club, but you know what? That's a little bit of respite for me, because the sunspray and cap have been my best friend across the week, and they have been again today. But just seeing that temperature drop a little bit means maybe I won't have to go through another coating of sunspray this evening. Who knows?
Who knows indeed. Rob, thank you very much indeed. And as ever, Rob will be back with you on breakfast tomorrow with all the latest from what happens tonight. It's coming up to 24 minutes past five. And have you got an idea for a project which could help celebrate the Manx language? Well, if so, you could be eligible for a grant from Culture Vannin as part of its Traced initiative. Now, this is to mark a year-long celebration next year, as the Year of the Manx Language is in 2026. Ruth Kegan-Gale from Culture Vannin has been talking to Howard Kane.
Traced is a Culture Vannin initiative, and it means a few different things as a word. It means trust, confidence or hope in Manx. And we first ran this scheme during lockdown, but it's back in its It's bigger and bolder than ever. And what we're going to do is basically help spark a wave of creative energy by offering up to 30 project grants of £500 per project to help bring the Manx language to life in new exciting ways ahead of the year of the Manx language in 2026. So these are open now to apply to. There's lots of different themes. So we've got five themes for the year of the Manx language, and the projects are based around these. So the themes are young people and families, identity and sense of place, community and creativity, research and resources, and lifelong learning. So some of them are where you could actually have quite entry-level Manx through to fluent speakers. So it might be things like we can provide lists of words to help people, but designing some stickers with positive Manx on them, or running a short course for absolute beginners in Manx, creative writing, poetry or short stories in Manx, creating songs in Manx, or maybe coming up with a learning resource. Also things like beach art as well, taking positive words and making beach art, filming it or photographing it. And there's so many ideas. I mean, they're just off the top of my head, but we've got about 30 different projects. So it's definitely worth having a look at that. If you are somebody who wants to get involved and make a difference in a tangible way, this is your way to do it.
That is Ruth Kegan-Gale from Culture Vannin talking to Howard. So 2026, the year of the Manx language. And if you've got a project idea, they really would love to hear from you. And the deadline to apply for the first round of funding is Friday, the 25th of July. So that's a week tomorrow. As ever, guess where you can find out more? manxradio.com. But they really are open to any ideas, as Ruth says, and they're such a welcoming organisation as well, so there will be no idea that's too off the wall that it won't be given some consideration. So definitely get in touch if you have something percolating at the back of your brain. That is pretty much all from Update this evening. Remember that for the very latest on how the Island Games in Orkney is going, you can visit our sports page on Facebook this evening. There's also the blog there as well. And the very latest updates will be on the website. And great news for the golfing teams there. Three medals in the past hour or so. So they're all doing fantastically well. And I say, yeah, penultimate day tomorrow. It doesn't seem like it's been 2 minutes, does it, since the opening ceremony? And Rob was rubbing shoulders with Lorraine Kelly. We'll hear all about that when he's back, I'm sure. But that is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Shaq Lair with Marilyn Crellin. Then, if you are a fan of Greatest Hits, you're in for a treat this evening, because Chris Kinney is here live from 6 until 10. And that's because we've got those two by-elections happening, one in Ramsey, one in Port Erin. The polls are still open until 8 p.m. and we will be bringing you the results as soon as they happen this evening. So if you're in any of those areas and you want to know who the successful candidates are, then do stay tuned to Manx Radio. And then Ree will be with you live from 10 with After Hours as well. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Breakfast will be back with you with Ben from 6 a.m. and Update will be with you from 5 tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.